I don't think that Jesus ever read Virgil. Do sit down. I don't think that Jesus ever read Virgil, because if he had, the parable of the sower, which you've just heard, might have been rather different to the way that we heard it. You see, Jesus could have read Virgil because Virgil died about 50 years before Jesus' ministry. And amongst Virgil's works are something called the Georgics. And these are a long verse treatise about agriculture and farming. And if Jesus had read the Georgics, which I don't suppose he could have done, A, because he might not have known the Latin, and also because there may not have been a copy in Waterstones in Capernaum at the time, so it would have been difficult to get a volume of it. But if he had, we would know that the sower, if he was a self-respecting sower, would not have gone out and sown it by the path side, because that was a waste of seed. He also would not have sown it on stony ground, because he would have made sure that the stones were removed from the ground first. Yes, he would have sown it and thorns would have grown up and might have choked the corn, and certainly a lot would have been sown on good ground. So I don't think that Jesus read his Virgil. But I'm afraid to say, I have. And I have a copy here, and I'm afraid I cheat because it's got the Latin on one side and the English on the other. But the reason I've read it is because, you see, I live in Clapham. And in Clapham, near where I live, there is an enormous 1960s housing estate of slightly dubious reputation of drugs and knives and a few shotguns and that sort of thing. I mean, I know the estate well, and there are terribly nice people living there. It's a very nice estate. But in the middle of this estate, this 1960s high-rise council estate, is an extraordinary survival, the late 18th century facade of the orangery, which was there for the great house, the mansion, which was originally on that site. There is this facade. It's Palladian, with a great pediment at the top, on pillars, and it's only the facade that is left. It's enormous. It's the width of this nave. And written on it is a great Latin line. Ver hic adsiduum atque alienis mensibus istas. I'm sure you've all translated that as I read it, but I will explain it to you. It really means, here is eternal spring and summer in alien months. That's what is written across that wonderful 18th century survival in the middle of the estate. Well, I have to say, Virgil actually was writing about Italy, not about Clapham, when he said that. Anyway, that's why I've read the Georgics, because I wanted to find that line. I recognized that's where it must come from, and there it was. I was pleased to find it. But Virgil, in his this great treatise on agriculture, really did explain exactly how farming should work and the preparation needed for the soil to be good, because we all like to think we are the good soil on which the word of God, the seed falls and germinates and brings forth fruit a hundredfold, as the parable suggests. We all like to think we're the good ground. But Virgil tells us how the ground becomes good. Firstly, he says, in the early months of the year, the first months of the year, January, February, you need to get the plough and plough it up, plough the soil up, because the soil becomes, during the year, compacted down. It lacks air. It lacks goodness. So the plough goes through it and turns the soil over and over. And for us, if we're going to be the good soil, our Christian faith gets compacted down and needs to be turned over. It needs to be disturbed. It's not a very comfortable thing to happen, because it's disturbing to our faith to have people turning it over and upsetting it. But that is what Virgil says needs to be done if we're going to get good soil and find that the seed, when it's the word of God, will germinate and bring forth fruit a hundredfold. So ploughing is the first thing, turning over the soil, turning over our faith, looking at it, seeing our faith, and being prepared to let the air into it. And the second thing that Virgil says we must do is to fill it, to use his words, with rich dung, that is manure. We have to manure the ground. His lovely words in Latin, fumi pingui, with a rich dung. It's a lovely expression, fumi pingui. I couldn't resist sharing it with you. And to put the manure into the ground so it becomes rich enough to bring forth good seed and make it grow. So we have to look to how we manage to manure, put that fumi pingui into our Christian faith to become good soil. And the manure that we can put into our faith when it's been disturbed by ploughing is simple. Our use of the sacraments as part of our regular, frequent Christian practice. Our time of prayer, of meditation. What is the sacraments that bring us, especially the Eucharist, so close to Christ? It is our time of prayer that allows us to relax in the presence of God and listen and talk and listen and question. The life of prayer and the things of prayer that can be with retreats and pilgrimages and so on. And also the use of the Christian calendar, where we have coming up shortly the season of Lent, and then Holy Week, and then Easter, and so on through the year. These are the things which are part of our Christian heritage and life. These are the manure that we can put into the ploughed up soil of our faith to enrich it so it can bring forth fruit 100-fold. And the third thing, the last you'll be glad to hear, third thing that Virgil recommends after the manure has been put in and the soil has been left for a bit, is to, well, we would nowadays call it harrowing if you're in the farming world, but what he actually suggests is dragging wicker hurdles over the land to smooth it out, to make that gentle tilth on the surface, the topsoil, so that the seed, when it falls on it, can go into the ground and germinate and bring forth fruit abundantly 100-fold. That's the nicer part. The ploughing is disturbing. Putting in the manure takes time and thought. The harrowing, the pulling over of those wicker hurdles is the rather nicer part of the process to make us the good ground, the good soil that we all like to be, because that is what the parable is all about. As I said at the beginning, I don't think that Jesus ever read Virgil. And by now, and actually the parable has its own explanation in it afterwards. The second part of the gospel was explaining how the parable works. So I suppose really there was no need for me to say anything at all because it's all there. And probably even if Jesus didn't read Virgil, by now you're probably rather wishing that I hadn't either.